whatever, and begin with. In sort of in Hollywood, when you're producing a movie, or take it down a notch, if you're doing a bar mitzvah video for your family, and you know it's going to be too long, so you have to, you know, you put all this material in, and then you have to decide, I got to cut something. It's called editing, isn't it? That's what producers do. Now, if I sort of give away the answer from the question, but had I not given this title and I asked you, look at Magid. Everyone has a one-page Magid with them, right? You see that one-page Magid? If you had to go through all of Magid and I had to pick what to cut, what would you say? So 9 out of 10 times, people come up with paragraph 13, which is what? What I call the multiplication table. Like, I'm not going to cut out the Manishtana, I can't cut out Abadi Mayinu, I can't cut out Mikrila, I can't cut out Pripen Aptarim, I can't cut out Aramiya Bedavi. I can't cut out the four sons. Maybe Yochum Rosh Chodesh. That's the other one that comes out sometimes. A little Havamina. But of all the things that seem rather superfluous, is 10 plagues is fine, or even 50. But why go to 200, 250? Understand my question? So what I want to do in the shiur today is try to understand how that what that drasha comes to teach us. Because assuming if Chazal gives a drasha, there's something behind it. Now, you know what word is more the most common word in Magid? What word is repeated more than any other word in all of Magid? Take a wild guess. Mitzrayim is a lot, but not more, way more than Mitzrayim.
Abadim.
Bye-bye. You'll catch on right away. It's so simple. There's one word more than any other word. It's like sort of the elephant in the room. You know what that means? It's so obvious no one sees it. What word is more than any other word in Magid? We have them all stumped. Shene'emar. Isn't that the most common word? Shene'emar. Why is it the elephant in the room? Because no one pays attention to it. Correct? Well, I sort of joke around and say is that Shene'emar means stop thinking instead of start thinking. When Chazal say Shene'emar, what do they want you to do? Not take their word for it, but rather
look at the source.
Right? Now, who remembers? Remember, it's Rabbi Elazar and then Rabbi Akiva asked that. Now they argue over how many makot was with every makah. Remember? Who remembers without looking, in case you didn't look yet? Everyone remembers. Everyone remembers the drasha that every makah minen shechol makah shayev b'mitzayim yasha arba makot shenemar. Oh, perfect. Okay. Say that. Does it sound familiar? Shalachem Charonapo Ebravazam? The Saram Shalachem Malachim Marim, something like that? No. Do you understand why that teaches you there's four makot? And what's Rabbi Akiva say? Really, there's five makot because he adds another comma. Okay? That's a legitimate argument, how many commas to put in the sentence. But how does that teach you that every makot was four or five makot? What are you supposed to do?
Look at the pasuk,
which happens to be in what book? Tehillim. Okay. And what parrot? Ayin Chet. Okay. So now we go to our source sheet. Okay. I'm not sure if we need that gut again. Well, maybe we'll need that gut again. But look in Tehillim Ayin Chet. And I did you a favor. If I had you for 2 hours and you were in school, I would give you unformatted, and you have to format it and find the structure and everything, find the header, but this sort of, what do you call it? You get the easy version. Because it's Erev Pesach. Yeah. Okay, everyone here is people going away for Pesach. I'm assuming. Anyone comes to Shiron on Sunday, Erev Pesach. Now, look at the Perek and look at Pasuk Memtet and make sure we fit the. Everyone look at Pasuk Memtet? That's the one we quote, isn't it? See Pasuk Memtet? Now, just for the fun of it, I'm assuming no one in this room ever studied Tehillim Ayin Chet in their life. They might have read it. I'm sure you read it. For some reason or other, you might have read it. Because he either went through the whole book one time or someone was ill. But you probably read Tehillim Ayin Chet, but you probably never studied it. It's way too long. But I want to show you a pasuk that you should have learned sometime in your life. Look at pasuk Lamed Chet. You say that every day, every morning, every evening, don't you? And that's a central theme in davening, isn't it? It comes up several times in Shacharit. It would be worthwhile once to understand what's the context of Uhrachu Mechaper Avon. Soon we'll see. That'll be key to understanding the whole drasha of in Haggadah. Now, look at Pasuk Memtet. We'll get to Lamed Chet later. Look at Pasuk Memtet and make sure we identify that's the Pasuk that we're quoting. Everyone agree? Yishalach bam charon apo, Ephra, Vizam, Vizara, Mishlachat, Malachi Ra'im. Again, what did Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva learn from here? That every Baka was one or two. Now, or four or five, I'm sorry, four or five. Half asleep. Now, I want to show you how simple the drasha is when you look at the context. Starting from Pasuk Mem Dalet, I want you to notice that there's lots of makot from Pasuk Mem Dalet to Nun Aleph. I give it away because I have most of them highlighted. Correct? You see them? So the overall topic of this section is makot. So let's go, in fact, let's start from Pasuk Mem Bet, just to get the context. This parak is very critical of Am Yisrael. It's super critical of Dor HaMidbar. You'll see in a minute. Boys are critical of Dor HaMidbar. And it's telling you, that generation, Lo Zechru Et Yado Yom Asher Padam Miyatzar, the generation who witnessed the Makot, didn't internalize that message. Asher Samba Mitzayim Al Tutav Maftav Estate, so on. And the Mizmor is saying, that generation witnessed all the miracles God did in Egypt, and it did not affect their emunah. It didn't affect how they related to God. They continued to complain to God all the time. It just didn't have the right effect on them. Now, and then we start quoting all the different makot. So, what makah is in Pasuk Mem Dalet? Dam, okay. How about in Pasuk Mem Hei? And Svardeh, okay. Mem Vav? Arbeh, got it? Mem Zayin? Barad. And Mem Chet? Also Barad. Okay. Mem Tet? How many makot? None. Okay. Nun.
Dever.
And some people by mistake say what? Yeah. Why would some people say Choshech? Because they committed a sin. No sin? Remember, it's a sin to make a shin out of a sin? Okay. But I don't know whether this is intentional wordplay of Chasach. I don't know how sharp the Mizmor was, whether that was intentional to make it look like Choshech or not. I wish I could ask the Mechaber. But definitely it's not Choshech. Agreed? It's Chasach. Okay? And we have Deder. And Pasuk Nun Aleph? Makat Bechorot. And therefore, from Mem Dalet to Nun Aleph, every Pasuk has a plague, except for one. Mem Tet. And therefore, in Pshat, if every line is a plague, the Mem Tet must be modifying Barad. And Barad must be something extra special, because Barad gets double mentioned, doesn't it? Every other Makat gets one mention, and Barad gets double mentioned. And therefore, there's three psukim that describe Barad. In fact, if you know the makot, which makah has the longest description in Chumash? Which makah has the longest description of all of them? You ever measure them up? You can take a while. Barad, by far. Yeah, Barad is the longest one. It's got everything. It's got like almost all the elements of all of them, and just by chance, it's number 7. Now, are we missing any makot?
Kinim.
Yes.
Kinim.
Whatever
is
there. Keenan,
you're missing. Yeah. Well, let's play tic-tac-toe, okay?
We have a board?
No marker, huh? Oh, yeah, we have a marker, okay? Play teacher. Okay. You know this here, don't you?
Choshech is missing.
Remember the Tzachadash Bachav? Let's go. Dam. We have Svardeya. We have?
No, Keenan.
Keenan. So we're missing Keenan. Okay? Then we have Arov. Dever.
Shechin
is missing. Then we have Barad.
Arbeh,
Choshech
is missing.
And Choshech is missing. Got it? And what an amazing coincidence. What's missing?
The third one in each one.
3, 6, and 9. Everyone knows that shir of the Tzachadash Bachav. The Makot come in 3 each way. Now, with 1, 4, and 7, what's common to 1, 4, and 7? Go warn Paro by the Nile. Remember Pharaoh's in denial? Okay. So go warn him by the Nile. Okay. The next 3, 2, 5, and 8. Go to his palace, Baal Paro, and 3, 6, and 9,
no
warning. Now, I think that's educational, isn't it? Why? Well, I want people to see the hand of God behind events. So first, if I warn someone that a makkah is going to happen and it happens, that proves God's behind it, right? Happen if there's no warning beforehand, there's less chance, right? But what I want to train people to do that even without knowing ahead of time it's from God, you have to see God behind everything. There's like an educational progression there. I think that's the reason why some of the Makot don't have a warning. I'll get that in a minute. Now, in this context, why are 3, 6, and 9 missing? What point was the Mizmor making? We witnessed the Makot and they had no effect on us. So which Makot should have had an effect on us more than any other ones? The ones that are preceded by warning. So I can understand why the ones without a warning didn't have an effect. Or I can't demand as much. But a plague that says, I'm going to do this, and then God does it? If you, know, if you live in Israel today, kinim, that's not a miracle. That happens all the time. If you know, bring up kids in Israel. Now, yeah, question.
When we say, it's very interesting. You mentioned 3/6 and 9 are missing, right?
Yeah.
So when we say the Lich Shemei the Mother Yoma, right? That's in the Kabbalah, section 369 from Vayakin.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
Therefore, we have the measurements there, you see, of Bezalel. So here, if we have written in our email, we're dealing with the nature of the Mizbeah.
Yeah, that would be a sort of pretty Kabbalistic, pretty, if that was the reason, that would be really awesome.
I mean, it's more sophisticated than that, right?
Yeah.
It could be a very, very important reason.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so that's the first part. Now we understood the drasha, didn't we? What's the simple pshat of the drasha? That because Pasuk Memtet is describing Barad, and describing with 4 or 5 different adjectives, therefore, Barad had 4 or 5 parts to it. And if Barad had 4 or 5 parts to it, then they had 4 or 5 parts to it. Why? That's the same thing we did before with Etzba and Yad. If one's called Etzba, then they're all... I'm doing multiplication tables. Now, my assumption is there must be a deeper reason. Now, anyone know why Barad gets so much... Why would Barad get so much press? Remember, if the whole point is there, you witnessed the Makot, right? And it had no effect on you.
Right?
By Barad?
Devar.
Yeah, which is Barad, the same gematria as Barad. You ever notice that? Devar and Barad is the same gematria. I think the same letters. Okay. Now, I think Mahar Gadu do Hadabara there is going to be, isn't it? Well, that's a side point. But there was something special about Barad. Did something happen in Barad that didn't happen to any other?
Well, they were warned to get everybody.
Oh, this is a test, remember? Hayareh Dvar Hashem Yanisik Migneo. I think it's on. It might be on the source sheet even. Yeah, of course you could have checked ahead. Look in Makat Barad. See that Odcha Mistalab Ami Levilti Shalacham. Inimamter Makat Machar Barad. Kaved Maod. Shulai Kamod Misan Baminam Mispat. This is wool. The big one's coming up. Remember, this is the last Sidra of 3. This is 7, 8, and 9 coming up because everyone begins. Every set, the first one in every set's the big one. Okay. Batash Lachezet Migneha. Some people got the message. Even the Egyptians got the message from the Makot. And you guys didn't? You understand the Mizmor? In other words, the Makot should have an effect on you. I'll repeat this line several times. The command, when we mention the Makot, it doesn't only need to be informative, it needs to be transformative. You understand my point? When I tell a story, it's not just information, it's information that has to affect the way you behave. You have to go from informative to transformative. And what do we do in the Seder? We just mention the Makot. But what's the goal? Why am I telling the story? And why am I about all the great things God did? Not to know just how great God is, but how that knowledge of Jewish history should affect how you behave. We'll see that in the Mizmor in a minute. And we just mentioned the Makot, and what do we want that story to do to us? We want our telling the story in the Seder to be a transformative experience. We'll be better Jews after telling the story, after going through a Seder and telling the story. And I'm going to mention, you know what? The first generation who lived through them, they didn't internalize the message. But we should. And that we'll see, that's going to be the main theme of Tilei Ma'inchet. We'll go back to it in a minute. But look at the next part. The Barad came, Pasuk of David, and then what happens with Paro? Vayishlach Paro vayikra Moshe v'Aaron v'yomer aleihem, Chatati hapam, Hashem hatzadik v'ani ba'mi harashayim. Now we did Egyptians, some of them give in. The very first time that what does Paro do? Paro internalizes the message of Barad. It didn't last very long. It's like Yom Kippur. It lasted a day. But it worked at least for a day, didn't it? And if Paro was affected by Barad, how about us? And we were on the good side of it. You understand? So I think that's why Barad gets extra mention. That's why it's 7. That's why it's double mention. That's why I'm trying to understand behind the drasha. There's a reason why Barad of all the Makot is an extra special one. Because Barad, in the context of the Perek and Tehillim, is the one that should have caused you to have an effect on how you behave. And back then, it was the first time we had a test. Hayarei Dvar Hashem could do something. Okay, now, let's go back now to the Mizmor. And to appreciate the Mizmor, what we need to do, we have to have a class in Sefer Tehillim. And there's many long parakim in Sefer Tehillim. Some are shorter, some are longer. But the long ones, most of them have introductions. And the first boring step of studying a parak in Tehillim is what's the header, and then what's the content, what's the structure, and what's the message. Those are the three stages. Then what's the header, what's the structure, and what's the message. Got the idea? It happens in the big ones a lot. And some have very short headers, and some have very long headers. And sort of this I give away, the first eight psukim is a header. So let's look at the header and try to understand what the Mizmor is trying to say. Okay. Maskil Asaf. Who was Asaf? He comes up a lot in Shir Shul Yom, doesn't he? Every Tuesday and Thursday. Correct? You know who Asaf was? He's mentioned in Divrei Hayamim. Asaf is the chief Levite appointed by King David when they brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. Remember that whole story? David wants to build a Mikdash, but he gets the Aron to Yerushalayim after a little setback. And when he brings the Aron to Yerushalayim, it doesn't just collect dust, but rather he starts a choir. He gets the Levim together. They start composing music. There's a renaissance of Jewish commitment and Jewish service. And around the Aron will be the Israeli Philharmonic, or a choir of Levim. And they're singing God's praises. And the chief conductor, or the chief composer, was Asaf, because David appointed Asaf to be the head rosh of Levim. It's chapter 16. Chapter 16, Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Hevav Zayin in Tehillim. It's right before Hodu L'Hashem Kiruv Mishmo that we quote in Tefillat Shacharit every morning. That was when they brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, Asaf and his men, they began to sing Hodu L'Hashem, that was Tehillim Kufei. It's on, I gave it to you about 5 years ago. It should be online somewhere, in case you want to. That's like, Kufei is an early version of Magid, but that's a different share. But we have the Makot in Tehillim Kufei as well. Now, look at the opening line. Hazina mi torati hatuaz nechem mimrifi. Is he plagiarizing Asaf or not? It's not plagiarizing. It's poetry. But when a Mizmor Tehillim, in my opinion, Sefer Tehillim is one of the earliest commentaries on Chumash. Happens a lot, doesn't it? Like Hodu L'Hashem Kiruv Bishmo. Tehillim Kufei is saying, Am Yisrael is obligated, Zer Yisrael Abdo B'nei Kol B'chirav, are obligated to call out in God's name. Didn't say that in Chumash. But what did Avram do for a living? Everywhere he went, he was Korei B'Shem Hashem, wasn't he? And therefore, if Avram did that for a living, what did Sefer Tehillim assume? That Am Yisrael needs to do that for a living. But that's a type of commentary on Chumash, isn't it? So there's a lot of prakim and Tehillim that you see, they identify a theme in Chumash, and they try to translate that in the presentation. Now, I'm assuming we're not just stealing the words of Shirat Hazinu, I'm copying the theme of Shirat Hazinu. Because what's the theme of Shirat Hazinu? Everyone has heard of Shirat Hazinu. What's the main topic?
Well, hopefully we're made so forsake Hashem and suffer rather horrendous punishments.
And who do we blame when things go bad in Jewish history? When something goes wrong, when I grew up, we learned when something goes wrong, you blame somebody else, don't you?
Right?
That's how you survive in life. But what does Sirat Hazinu say? When something goes wrong, I've got a better pasuk. Right? Hatsur. Why? What? Elamuna bein Avel, Sadiq v'Yasharu. I think it's on the source sheet, yeah. It's on the source sheet also, Sirat, in case you didn't. You should know it by heart from, because we learned it over and over again during Aseret Yemei Teshuva. It's never of Yantab always. Hazinu is more than almost all of them. Okay. So Hatsur Tamim Polo. Got it? Shichet Lo. There's a question mark after that. Shichet Lo? Question mark. What's that mean? When things go bad, are we going to attribute to him? What's the answer? Lo. Got it? You understand the Tamei Mikra? The special one there. Shichet Lo? Lo. Who's to blame? Banabumam. Dor Ikei Shuftato. Remember Dor Ikei Shuftato? It's a crooked generation. God is straight. And we're crooked. Okay? Haladonai Tik Meluzot. Am Nababal. Are you going to blame that on God, you stupid people? Why would God punish you for no reason? There's no reason for God to bring for no reason. Other than, it's a wake-up call of some sort. And how do I recognize that? What do I need to do? I need to study Jewish history. Next pasuk. And if I don't know it myself, who do I ask? Would that be related to Magid? Asking your parents and your elders and let them tell you Jewish history? Think so. That's what we do in Maggid, isn't it? We tell the story of Jewish history to our children. We'll see in a minute how it comes up. Then we go through Jewish history. Remember? Banchelion going after, that's Migdal Bavel. Then God picks Abraham Avinu, takes us out of Egypt, brings us, remember? We come to the land of Israel, then we go bad. Jack Newman, Bezidim, all that stuff. Then God gets angry. But ultimately, God saves us, no matter how bad we are. There's like a safety net. He's not very happy, but we're in this forever. Remember Brit Sinai? We're God's people. Doesn't mean it'll be a happy marriage all the time, but I call it a Catholic marriage, if you understand my analogy. With God, there's no possibility. That's our argument with the Christians. We hold that our Brit with God is a Catholic marriage, meaning there's no possibility of divorce. And they hold, the Catholics hold that we're Protestant, if you understand. Never mind. You understand the machloket? It's a very basic machloket in theology. In fact, it's there. And one of the biggest proofs was the fact, read Chumash, we belong in the land of Israel. 2,000 years, you're not back in your land? Wake up. Oh, now we're back. That's why the land of Israel is a bit, they have to change their theology. You know, that's part of the Gula process for them again. You understand? If you know, we raise a lot of money from that idea, but if you know modern day Jewish history, but that's God's secret ways. You don't question. Now, let's go back now to Tehillim. But I'm trying to explain to you why the Mizmor begins with Hazinu. In other words, if the opening lines is Hazinu, it's not just, for sure it's not plagiarizing. It says, I call it, wake up and smell the chumash. God's up to something big. I mean, the Mizmor is up to something big. The theme of this Mizmor has to relate to Shirat Hazinu, about learning from history, don't blame God, blame yourselves. Now, Eftecha b'mashalfi yabia b'chidot min yekedem, pasuk gimel. Asher shamanu v'neida'em v'avetenu sipru lanu. There are things that we know from who? We received a tradition from our parents. It's called Chumash. And Chumash is not only laws, it's Jewish history. But Jewish history in the context of a brit between God and the nation. Pasuk Dalet. Lo nechached mibnehem l'dor acharon mesaprim tilot Hashem v'zuzah v'nifotav asher asah. We can't hide Jewish history from our children. We received a tradition from our parents. We can't hide that from our children. Dear Dor Achron means the next generation, not the last, the next. We'll prove it in a minute. Remember, Achron, Achron, Chaviv. Achron many times means next. If you're in shul, you know, there's an Achron, there's two more Hasafas coming up. Right? If you know, if you're a Gabbai. Now, to the next generation, you have to tell what we received from our parents. I mean, that's called Jewish tradition passing down our tradition of Jewish history. We received not just laws and not just stories, we also received laws from God, instructions. And what are we obligated to do? Every generation has to pass that to the next generation, which is half of Judaism, isn't it? So it's so cool. Part of being Jewish is keeping Judaism going, bringing up another generation. That's why Puruvu is a commandment for us, not for, it's a blessing for mankind, for us it's a commandment. And Pishitantam Levanecha, it's the most expensive commandment we have, isn't it? It's even more than Shmur Matzah, Jewish education. Jewish weddings are a close second. Okay, now, what happens next? Pasuk Vav, Leman Yidu Dor Acharon Banim Yivaledu Yakumu V'Yisapru Livnehem. That proves Dor Acharon means next. What do our children need to do with these stories? And this next. Okay. Does that have anything to do with the Seder? Isn't that the essence of the Seder, isn't it? Of Vigat Tevavimcha? The one time of year where we have to do this and pass down the story of our tradition and our history and God's involvement in our history from one generation to the next, that's exactly Magid. So I think it's not by chance, you understand my key point? It's not by chance that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer are quoting a pasuk from Tehillim Ayin Chet. Because Tehillim Ayin Chet is all about the Seder, isn't it? And what did we just do with the Seder? We just mentioned the plagues. And we're going to see when I study the plagues, this Mizmor is going to say, your study of Jewish history should have an effect on how you behave, because look at the next line. Okay? Why do we tell this tradition to our children and all the great things that God did? Pasuk Zayin, Biasimu Belohim Kislam, Veloishkuchum Alaleo Mitzvotavim Tzaru. That's transformative, not informative. Understand? If I tell how great God is and tell the stories of Chumash and our tradition to our children, what should be the educational result? To put their faith in God and be dedicated to keeping his mitzvot. Now, it's not guaranteed to work. In fact, the very generation that witnessed them, what happened to them? When we learn Chumash, we have to learn not to be like our, like that generation of the desert. Dor Midbar gets an F. They failed, according to this Mizmor. What was wrong? They could have been the generation of Gula. What happened? It didn't work with that generation. But why? So in Sefer Shmuel, they have a good excuse. Remember, V'lo Shemo Moshe Mikotzurach Mi'avodah Kasha? We can understand. But what message do we take home? That we shouldn't be like them. In what way? What was wrong with that generation? Here we have an analysis. What went wrong with Dor Midbar? Dor lo echin libo. The generation wasn't ready for redemption. They weren't steadfast. They didn't support God. Remember? That means that's to believe in God, but to be steadfast in their belief with God. And be dedicated. And therefore, God had to bring up another generation. Therefore, when I tell the story of the Exodus, my hope is the knowledge of that story will make me dedicated to God. And that's the bottom line message of Magid, of the story, isn't it? And therefore, don't be surprised that Rabbi Kiva quotes Psukim. You understand? And if I say Shenemar and look up the Pasuk and read the whole Perek in Tehillim, I'm going to get the key message, the educational message of the Seder, that when I tell a story and I tell Jewish history and I see the hand of God in history, it's not just informative, it needs to be transformative. And that has to build our emunah in God, and not just emunah that He exists, that He watches, but our dedication to keep His mitzvot, to be His people. Okay. Now watch what happens next in the Mizmor. Okay. That was the header. That's the key point. Now I made my point, I have to prove it. And what does the Mizmor do? From Pasuk Tet to about to Pasuk Tet Zayin, or all the things that God did taking us out of Egypt, mostly Kriyat Yamsuf. It's the Makot again. Negerab Tama Safela Beretz Mitzrayim, Bakayam Bavireim, and Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayimchen Ba'anan Yomam, Valayla Be'or Ish. It's all Parsha Bo'en B'Shalach. Pasuk Tet Zayin, taking water out of the rock. And then Pasuk Yud Zayin. Despite all these things, what did we do? V'yasif Olach Tolo, Lamrot Elyon B'tziyah. Complain about the man story and the mitavim and the mitonanim, and how we should have, you know, look what we should look in Pasachav. Heini kitzor v'yazuv v'mayim v'nachalim b'shtofu hagam lachem yuchatet. Okay, im yachin shor lamo. Wait, why are you questioning God? Look at all the things He did for you. Why are you questioning? Can God? Why are you testing God all the time? Remember, by nasuot hazeser pamim. Why don't you get the message? All the training God's trying to do to build up their emunah just didn't work. Why? Dor lo echin libo. God can do 1,000 miracles for you. If you're not ready for redemption, it's not going to work. He continues all the way till the end of the column. Yeah, we're a little short on time. So look in Pasuk Lamed Bet. That's the end of Dor HaMidbar. Imar gam v'darshu v'shavu v'shichru el v'iskru ki elim tzuram v'elim go'olam v'ayfatu v'lifeyem v'fasham v'ichaz v'lo. Every once in a while they did tshuva and it didn't last. They said, okay, we'll be better again, and again they went astray. This over and over again. Oh, that's really harsh, isn't it? So what would a normal CEO do with workers like that? Fire, just start a new religion or pick somebody else. Right? What did God do? Right? Understand? What won't God do? He won't. There's always a safety net. Why? That's midat rachamim. Because on the one hand, we mess up a lot. On the other hand, we're always God's people. We're dedicated to God. We want to be His people. We're just not perfect. And therefore, God is always willing to give us another chance. He'd get really angry, but we're in this forever. A friend of mine, it's okay quoting, Rabbi Weissman, Rabbi in Plainview. So he has a member in a shul who's a convert, used to be a priest, or a priest in the Bible, whatever. Some, you know, Catholic, or I forgot what religion he was before. I mean, definitely Christian, I forgot what denomination. So he gave a share on Shavuos night. He says, you Jewish people, you know, your connection to God, you guys are like an old couple, an old married couple. Divorce is not possible, but you sit and argue all the time, but you never separate. You follow? If you understand the thing. Like, there's a certain type of, you know, people argue a lot, but they're together all the time. You follow? That's how they express their love for one another. I think something really deep there. Again, I just loved it. He said it much better than I just said it. I'm misquoting him. It was this rush up on Shavuos. It was an awesome one. Remember? Maybe I don't know if he has it on tape. But you hope you understand the idea. The idea is so deep. The idea of sometimes when people argue all the time, it's a sign of love. Okay, but I'm looking at the positive side with all that, but this Mizmor is pretty harsh. But it's saying God is always forgiving. Now, knowing that is the beginning of tefillah, because tefillah is not yes, he will, but yes, he can, as opposed to no, he can't anymore. But knowing that God can redeem and things can get better, that's again a transformative understanding that's going to motivate me to do proper tshuva. Because if I know I'm so bad, there's no hope for me anymore, I'll never make the team, so I won't even try. If I know I just have to wait and say magic words, that'll be phony. Right? Knowing that God can forgive and wants to be forgiving, but I just have to show him that I want to do a change, I want to be better, okay? That's the whole world of tshuva. If it was Elul's mind, we'd go into that, but it's 6 months from now. But you understand the idea of Baruch Mecha Peravon? That's Midot Torachamim, that's a key thing. And therefore, it's a transition point, and then there's more, is we have to explain why was it that God gave us another chance. And that's why the pasuk is so important in davening. Now, now we'll pick up what we did in our Mizmor. Pasuk lamentet. Now, vayizkor ki basar hem ruach olech v'lo yashuv. That's why God is still, we're human, we make mistakes, and therefore he's willing to give us another chance. Okay. Now we're going to start the second round. We finished the key point. I'm sorry, I should have read Pasuk Lamed Zayin, okay? And right before Baruch Hu. That's a summary of they weren't ready. And Baruch Hu Mechaper Avon. I want to share with you something you might remember from the 60s. Some of you are my age. The Babich Rebbe, in the good old days, when there was this messianic fervor, right? No, Six-Day War, back to Israel. What was the line he said all the time? He didn't say, I'm Mashiach. What did he say? He said, Hikonu Lebiyat HaMashiach. Anyone remember that? That phrase, Hikonu Lebiyat HaMashiach? That was, am I right? It was right on the mark. What was he saying? He's saying, God's doing something big. We have to be ready. That's exactly this pasuk. Dor lo hechin libo. God can bring redemption in any generation. If we're not ready for it, remember Amos, Lama lechem yom Hashem uchoshech v'lo'or. In fact, what do we do at the end of the Seder? Because I'm not going to forget to get there. What do we do at the end of the Seder? I mean, the second half of the Seder. We talk about gula of the past before the meal. We eat. And what's the topic after we bench? Gula of the future. And who do we invite? Yeah, remember we invite Eliel? We mumble some pasuk, don't we? What pasuk do we mumble? Okay. Why don't you take a wild guess where that pasuk's from? Oh, not this parak in Tehillim, but in Tehillim. Can one taste what parak? Ayin Tet. That's the next parak, isn't it? Ayin Tet, Ayin Tet. You look at it for homework. Maybe we'll read it in a minute. It should have been on the source sheet, but I forgot to send it. My mistake. But it's right there. Now, why? It's Ayin Tet, isn't it? It's more or less off. Is it there? You found what pasuk? Read out loud. How come that's so familiar, that pasuk? For some reason we say it in Tachnu. Couldn't figure out why. Continue. Isn't that Tachnu, Buhurachum, and here? You understand? That we know by heart. Why? No one realizes where it's coming from. Now, why do we say that in Magid? We want future redemption. We have to be worthy of redemption. So, what's the classic reason why we invite Eliel? Give me the right or wrong reason. What's everyone say? How come we're inviting Eliel? What's Eliel's job? No, you're right. But what's everyone say?
I don't know what they say. Get us ready.
You're right. I wanted the right, wrong answer. What? He's called the harbinger of Messiah. He's going to announce Mashiach's coming. Don't you hear that all the time? Eliel's job, I'm coming to announce Mashiach's coming. He's going to give us the good news. We're waiting for Eliel to declare Mashiach's coming. That's not what we read yesterday in Haftarah, was it? That's why we read. What was Haftarah? Eliel's job is not to announce it. God will bring Mashiach. Right? What's his job? Finish it for me. We don't read. If you're not ready for redemption, God can bring redemption. If you're not ready, it's going to be ugly. We're not going to say that in a song because that doesn't sound so good. But Eliel's job is not to announce Mashiach's coming. Eliel's job is to prepare us so when God comes, we're ready for redemption. That was what the Baba Chorad was talking about. That's Ikon of the Biyat Mashiach. You understand? And that's what the Seder's about. We're talking about we're praying that future redemption will happen again, but redemption is a two-way street. And that's the whole point of the Mizmor, is that we have to get it right. It's not we know that one day God will save us. God can always save us, but we have to be worthy of his redemption. That's sitting back and waiting patiently. Ask any Kabbalist. You can bring Mashiach. You can make it happen by being worthy, by being eager, being ready, and being dedicated. And therefore, if I'm going to tell the story of the Exodus and say, here's what God did in the past, and it's true, and admit, sure, it's in Mitzrayim, etc., etc., and say one day it will happen again, I have to know to be ready for it. Again, I'm talking about on a national level. And therefore, if you want to enhance redemption or make it work, that story has to be not just informative, but transformative. Okay, now, question.
Is Bahu Rachman the midpoint of Sefer Tehillim?
I don't know if you mean numbers-wise. You have to ask
I think that's what the Gemara says.
Even if it's not exact, thematically it's right on the mark.
The Gemara says
150 divided by 2? We're close, yeah. We're close, yeah.
Yeah. The
okay. But you understand? Let's say you do the math and everything. Is it more in letters, Sukkim, Prokim? Yeah, it's a good question. But thematically, because it's the midpoint of this Mizmor, isn't it? So, Sefer, don't worry if it doesn't come out exactly.
You're going to test in the second half, so it may well be off.
Excuse me? Oh, that's right. It was, that would be exactly it. Okay, now, let's go now, continue. Now, what do we say now? Pasuk, Kamu Yomru Bamidbar, Pasuk Mem. Look how much they got angry at him in the desert. Yatzibu by Shimon, that's Tikbola. Yeshuv and Esuel, Vukdoshi Sol, Itfu. Despite all things God did, they continued to get God annoyed in the desert. They continued to test God and challenge him. And what didn't they do? Vulazachruet Yodo, Yomashapadam Minitzar. But what did Am Yisrael do in the desert? Even though they saw the Makot, and they heard about them, and they went through them, it didn't have an effect on their behavior. And they continued to question God. And therefore, we have to learn from their mistakes not to be like them. Okay? And then, in that context, we bring the Makot, remember? And then we have the drasha about Barad, which now makes a lot of sense. Because even Paro, Barad had an effect. And I only have the Makot that had warnings, because those ones should have an effect. I think that explains why the drasha is here. Now, Cynthia, question?
It makes sense. Wouldn't one of the plagues before, like chronologically, just they have plagues and then talk about how
Israel didn't really react to them properly? No, as far as the order of the parak, this is round 2. This is like a second point of the parak. Because I made this point already. Look, go back to in Pasuk Yudbet. We said the same idea. Neged avotam asafela, beretz Mitzrayim steitzoan. Bakeam vavirem, v'yatzev mayim kumoned. They did the miracles and they didn't internalize it in the desert. That's up until the first generation. And now I think this is referring to the second generation. We've continued to do bad. Remember, we have Korach, and we have the Nachash Nechoshet. There's still more things going wrong. And again, we knew about the plague. Some of us were little kids at the time. And we still didn't internalize the message. Okay? Even though the plague had an effect on Pharaoh sometimes, and some of the Egyptians, and this had no effect. And that's what the Mizmor is complaining about. And therefore, if I'm going to mention the Makot and tell the story of the Exodus, on me it needs to have an effect. Now, who finally got it right? We're going to go now and finish Nevim Rishonim. Take a look. We're up to Pasuk Nun Gimel. After Nun Aleph was the last Makkah, Makkah Pachorot. Then it continues the story through the desert. We continued. God guided his nation like a sheep, like a shepherd. Okay? And we feed our enemies. Pasuk Nun Dalet. Nun Hei is Sefer Yeshua, isn't it? We Vayveim Akvu Kacho Harzeh Kantai Yimino Vayigarash Mivim Goyim Vayipalim Bechebel Nachala. That's exactly the two halves of Sefer Yeshua, correct? That's a short version of the book. What book should be next? Let's see if it works. Isn't that Shiret Hazinu? Remember Yaknihu B'Zeidin? No, there's a lot of wordplay from Shirat Hazinu here. You can't miss that. Okay. Shmalim Bitabar Baimas Bamod Bisrael. Okay. That's the end of Alter Sefer Shoftim. And now we get to Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Sefer Shmuel. There's no Shmuel Aleph, but Sefer Shmuel in the beginning. Baitosh Mishkan Shiloh Ohel Shikem Badam, Bnei Eli. You know the story of Shiloh being destroyed. Baitem Shevi Uzo. What's that referring to? Uzo is the Aron. The Aron being taken captive to the Plishtim. That's all in Sefer Shmuel. Bitiyapoto Biatzar. Okay. Remember, Itabar, God gets angry. That's Bnei Eli dying, and the whole story of Korban Shiloh. That was the rock bottom of Jewish history. And then things change around. With the birth of, remember the turnaround point in Tanakh is Tefillat Chana is the, that's the flip around point. That begins recovery, leads to the birth of Shmuel, leading to the Melucha, leading to David. As we'll see. Vaikatz ki Hashem Adonai, ki gibor mitronen miyayin, v'achzor v'achor, chepat olam natan lamo. Vaimas bo Yosef, God now abandons the Mishkan and Shiloh and Shevet Yosef in leadership, like from Yeshua and Leah's kids, and from Rachel's kids. V'shevet from Lobachar, v'achar Shevet Yehuda, v'tar Tzion Asherai. He moved leadership from Bnei Rachel to Bnei Leah, or to Yehuda. Vayven k'mo Rabbi Mikdasho, there's Yesta Leolam. David, his whole desire was to build a Mikdash for God. And what's David do? Vayvchar b'David Abdo, v'kechel mimechotzon, v'yachar alot Eviyom. No, it's David now builds a Mikdash. V'rot b'Yakov amov yiso nachlato, v'yerem k'tom levovo, v'tnot kapal v'yamchem. Who wrote this mizmor? Asaf. What was Asaf's job? It was the chief composer of Tehillim. He's accompanying Malchut David. Who is the first Jewish leader to internalize Jewish history and get it right? Remember, David doing Mishpat Tzedakah L'chol Amo? The highest point in Jewish history is David and then the early years of Shlomo. And we finally got it right. We have finally one time in Jewish history where we get to the ideal of leadership. We internalize the message and we get it right. It doesn't last very long. Or stay for Melachim, but at least there was one time we got it right. And that becomes a benchmark for returning. So therefore, Asaf, so this Mizmor is telling you of how it's important to study Jewish history, to study the stories of Chumash, to tell it to our children. But when we tell it over, it's not just, again, information and knowing how great God is, but knowing how upset he was when God does things for us and we're not responsive, and we don't internalize the message, and how when we tell the story, we want it to be meaningful. I think now, if I go back to the Magi page I gave you, you see where it fits into this story. Just a quick review. 5 minutes. A quick review of how Magi works. I'm sure you're familiar. I'm sure you know Magi. Well, but in general, if I follow the Mishnah, according to the Mishnah, how do I tell the story? What mechanism do I use according to the Mishnah to tell the story? First I get my kids' attention. Okay? And then Kedata ben Aviv Mlamdo. That's the four sons. Those are the introductions. You know, of Arami Avedavi and Avam not Arami, of Abdimayino and Mitrila. But those are all introductory. Right? But the way we tell the story according to the Mishnah, Vidoresh me Armi Avedavi, Achik Morata Parshakula. The text that we use to tell the story is going to be Arami Avedavi. Now, did I ever explain to you why? What did Chazal pick that text to tell the story?
It's Shelot and Shuvot.
No, that's an educational method. But Arami Aved Avi, according to Sefer Dvarim, it's the last mitzvah of Moshe speaks in Sefer Dvarim. And like half the things we quote from, remember, Avidi Mayinu is from Sefer Dvarim, Lamatis Kort, Yom Koi Mechayecha, remember? Abelazar ben Azariah's Rasha is from Sefer Dvarim. The Chacham's question is from Sefer Dvarim. Again, Avidi Mayinu is from Sefer Dvarim. A lot of the psukim we quote later on, but the and all through Sefer Dvarim, in Sefer Dvarim we redeem our history, because even in the Ten Commandments, what's going to be the key motivator for our behavior? We have to keep Shabbat every 7 days, don't we? Why? According to Sefer Dvarim, no. L'manya nuach abdachavam b'chol kamocha. You have to rest, or your workers get a day of rest. Followed by, remember, you were a slave in Egypt. It's a motivator, and when you're harvesting your field. Remember? Can't forget that pasuk, right? Right? Followed by the same thing with your olives and with your grapes, followed by right beforehand, and that's why God took you out. And when you have a slave, after 7 years, he's set him free, you don't owe him a penny, do you? Do you give him a bonus? You know that Hanik Taniklo, remember in Perek Tedvav, followed by remember you were a slave in Egypt, and remember God is Ohev Ger Lotet Lo Lecha V'Simla in Perek Yud, followed by Vafta Metagir Ki Imaritem Beretz Mitzrayim. You catching on? Sefer Dvarim redeems our history. Now the very last, the mitzvot in Dvarim begin in Perek Hey, remember with the Ten Commandments and Shema Yisrael in Perek Vav, and goes all the way to chapter 26. I'm sure you remember Moshe's speech in Dvarim, and all through that speech. Moshe is going to redeem our history. He's going to use the experience of the Exodus to teach us how to behave. That's one of the key messages of Sefer Devarim. That's why we quote so much from there, because if I'm going to tell the story, if it's transformative, it's not just believing that God exists and he can redeem, but knowing how we need to behave. And in Judaism, we redeem our history. And we take our suffering and become something educational. I suffered, I'm going to learn to become a better person. It's a way of life. It's a redemptive way of life. Now, the very last commandment we have in Sefer Devarim is once a year, you come and make a proclamation in the Beit HaMikdash. And you don't come to thank God for your first fruit. What do you come to do? You thank God for your history, don't you? Remember Arami Aved Avi? You don't bring God, God doesn't need your fruit, and you're not going to God to thank you for your fruit. You're thanking God for your relationship and for Jewish history, because what land are you living in? This is the land that God promised my forefathers back in Ben Avtarim. Remember the word Yerusha, it's Kidah. And then you present your first fruits and you make a proclamation, Arami Aved Avi, Arami Mitzrayim. We have the whole story of God fulfilling Ben Avtarim of Jewish history. We were wandering in Armenians, we went down to Egypt, we became a nation there, they made us the bad ones, remember? They afflicted us, they oppressed us, we cried out to God, God saved us. Remember, V'yotesha mitzan v'yachatzika b'zron tuya, morah gadol v'otot moftim v'aybin al malkom hazeh. And now, as a token of my appreciation, I bring my first fruit. That we all know, don't we? Now. And the last line, remember, v'samachta b'chol atov, asher tan lecha Hashem elokecha, finish it for me. Again, the same thing. Now, back to that. We should do that. Why don't we do that anymore? We should make that proclamation every year. We don't have a mikdash, and up until a couple years, we don't have a land. We get half of it now. But we still can't do it. We don't have a mikdash. But it would be meaningful to make that proclamation every year. But we can't. So, what I understand is, what did the Chachamim of the Mishnah do after the Korban? Okay? They said, we need a text to tell the story. It could be freelance, we can tell anyway, but let's take the proclamation that every Jew should make once a year in Mikra Bikurim and use it as a core text to tell the story of the Exodus. I think it makes sense. I'm not sure, but that's my understanding of why they picked that. And therefore, what do we do as a nation, pretty much, because everyone has a Seder? Everyone does Mikra Bikurim, let's say that. Now, if we only did those five psukim, that would be way too short. Follow? We wouldn't be hungry. We wouldn't remember how hungry we were. And it would be so that's not enough. What do we do? What's the mission here? The doresh. That's the question and answer. We take every line from Arami Aved Avi and we doresh it. So look on the source sheet I gave you. That's what we do in 11 and 12. We do all 11 and 12. It's every line of Ben Avtarim. What's interesting though, is the last line that we quote is V'yotzei Hashem Mitzrayim B'yad Chazaka B'zron Netuya V'mor Gadol U'Vatot Noftim. For some reason we don't bring V'Avienu. That's, I'm not exactly sure why, but that's, some people still bring it in Israel, but that's a different question. But for some reason, that last pasuk, and 12c, we do two drashot on the same pasuk. The first drasha is, Yad Chazaka, Yad Chazaka, Yad Malach, Yad Chazaka, Yad Dever, Bezorim Tuya, Yad Cherev, Mor Gadol, Zeglu Shechina, remember, Otot Noftim? And then Davar Acher, we bring another drasha on that pasuk. What is it? Two words. What's next line? Two words. Moragado, two words. Otot, plural. Moftim, plural. Add it up, 10. Now, that's not shot, is it? That's a drasha to get to the 10 makot, isn't it? So then we quote the 10 makot, and we do the tic-tac-toe, the tzachadash vacha, and we sort of finish the story of the Exodus. And now, but because we mentioned we go out of our way to bring the 10 plagues into the story, in the beautiful drasha, and then what basically happened in our Haggadah, after that drasha, we finished Sipur Yitzat Mitzrayim with that drasha. Now, what's Rabbi Elezer and later Rabbi Kiva doing? Okay. We just mentioned the 10 Makot. Let's make sure that when we tell this story, it's meaningful and significant. So because this was the last line that we quote from Mikra Bikurim, that's why they added this drasha. And I think what they want you to do is not just to know how many makot there were. I mean, there's something, the classic line is, you have to see miracles in everything that happens. So things don't appear miracles, the ability to see miracles in everything, that's the classic reason for the multiplication tables. But I think in a deeper sense, I think they want you to study Tidei Ma'inchet, because in Tidei Ma'inchet is the core educational message of the Seder, of how we have to internalize what happened and pass that to our children, but that story has to be something that affects the way we behave. and therefore, that's how we end the story. Then we do, remember, we praise God for every stage of redemption. You know, if we only did one stage, remember, know how we go, how we finish the story? We finish the story with Kriyat Yamsuf, don't we? So we have to get to Israel, we have to get to Har Sinai in Israel, and Dayenu, in a backhanded way, we continue the story to Binyan Beit HaMikdash by saying, if God only did this, I would say thank you even more, so I have to say thank you for all the things he did. And then I give Ram Gamliel. But that's how we pretty much end. We end the story with the Makot, basically. And therefore, the transition to take the end of the story and make it meaningful, I think that's why we're quoting from Tehillim Ayin Chet, and that makes us in. And when you say later Tehillim Ayin Chet, you'll see how it's so nice that we quote Shmuel Chametcha Lagoyim and all those other psukim of God should help us, Zerin Hashem et Varachot Shemecha, Vatzimachat Achamam Shemecha. That was there, wasn't it? All the psukim from Tachnun fit very nicely. And remember, who do we want God to punish? What does it say there? V'shimcha lo karo. What's our job? To know God, remember? And to korei b'shmo. Remember, hodu l'Hashem kiru b'shmo, divamim alez l'tav. But therefore, punish nations who don't do what they're chosen to do. But that's sort of hidden, musr to us, isn't it? Because who gets punished by God? Nations not doing their job. And what are we chosen to do? Likro b'shmo. And to serve him, and to know him. Remember, to know God in the biblical sense is to do mishpat, do l'lechet b'drachav. And therefore, we're asking God not just punish, you know, if you're angry, take it out on somebody else. That's not what we're saying. We're saying take out on people who deserve, but that reminds ourselves that we have to be deserving of gula and not of punishment. Again, and that's what I think the Mizmor is saying. So that's what I'm going to share with you. That if you would be cutting out things in Haggadah, that even though that's like the thing no one pays attention to and we just go through it quickly, I think maybe not at the Seder, but sometime over Yotav, I think there's a minhag to use it for Shir Shoyom. Can't figure out why.
Yes, Yerushalayim. It's one of Yerushalayim. The people found minhag Gura, so they say a different mizmor every day.
Okay. And this is, I think, the fourth. This is one of them. I think it's the fourth Echal Amod, fourth or fifth. But now you understand why. The other one's Tilim Kufe. The other one's going to be the Hallelujah. And one's going to be Hallel, the Kuflam, and anything. With Horuz Hashem Kitov Yom Chasdo. Remember the one we say the Seder? Yeah, they're all that in Pitzeti Sarmim Mitzrayim is the first day, which makes sense. But those are the ones we do on. And the Shir Shayom, basically, I call it the earliest form of a rabbi sermon. Do you understand what I'm getting at? When people came to the Beit HaMikdash and brought Korbanot, we want to make sure it's meaningful. And therefore, when he came to Beit HaMikdash and they brought Korbanot,
they said that
they blew shofar, the Patru Levim Bashir. The earliest version of a rabbi sermon is Sifrei Tehillim, Perkei Tehillim, because they're Mufsar, aren't they? About learning from experiences, they're the best examples of rabbi sermons. Because we go to shul to hear, not we go to mikdash to hear the rabbi sermon, not the like shul, not for kiddush chod. So chet ego was when people came to Har Sinai. Chet ego is kiddush. It's the same thing as mamat Har Sinai, isn't it? Remember, there's the full day shul, but they came just for kiddush chod, not for the rabbi sermon. If you understand chet ego, that's just a little joke. But anyway, have a Chag Kasher v'Sameach, and hope we should be the flip side of Tehillim Ayin Chet, and we should learn how not to behave properly.
Do you know my